and I need more of you, dear Savior. That's the way it's got to be. Oh, I need more of you till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, Lord, from the start to the finish. I need more of you. Oh, I need more of you. I've got to have more of you in me. Oh, I need more. Give me your love, and this world can have the rest. I could never get enough of your grace, your peace, your warmth, and your love. I need more of you. Lord, I need more. Gotta be. Oh, that's the way it's got to be. I need more of you till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours, all those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, Lord. From the start to the finish, I need more of you. Oh, I need more of you. I've got to have more of you in me. Let's stand and sing it. Oh, I need more. Fill me with nothing left. Fill me with nothing less. Oh, I need more of you. Give me your love, and the world can have the rest. I could never get enough of your grace, your peace, your warmth, and your love. I need more of you. Oh, I need more of you. Lord, I've got to have more of you in me. Lord, I need more. Oh, let's just worship Him together tonight. That's the way it's got to be. Oh, that's the way it's got to be. Lord, I need more of you till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, Lord, from the start to the finish. I need more of you. Lord, I need more of you. I've got to have more of you in me. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you've got a desire for more of Him, a deep calling to the deep, then there's more of Him to be had. Amen. I believe that's what we came for tonight, was for more of Him. So we'll just believe that if we come expecting, then we can go away and have what we expected and we can receive. So, amen. God bless you this evening. We want to pick up again on the Flawed Character series, looking at Solomon still. And I want to pick back up at 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 11. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that Adonijah the son of Haggith doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, Didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, Assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this evening, I just ask that you'd be with us. Lord, may you just be in the service in a special way. May you be with each one, Lord, that's present. And Lord, as we come expecting, Lord, to receive from you, help not one person, Lord, to go home disappointed, Father, but may we go home this evening just more full of your love and your grace. And Lord, may you help me this evening just to bring balance to some of these things that we're looking at, and just ask that you would move in a special way amongst your people, Father. And Lord, we love you. We want you to have preeminence in this service. I ask that you just give me wisdom and grace, Lord. Give me strength for the journey. And Lord, may you just be with each one gathered here together this evening, Father. May we learn more about you this evening as we look into your word, Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. When we go to look at things like this, sometimes it's hard to bring the right balance to it. And as we looked at last week, on some of these things in the political realm, whether it be national politics or church politics or message politics or whatever it would be, and we're trying to bring that. I want to kind of clarify a little bit on that tonight before we move forward with the series and begin to look at this just a little bit again. I think sometimes when we go to speak on these things, if we're not careful, we use it to justify our own stands. And that wasn't the intent of the service last Wednesday night. The intent of the service was for us to look and to recognize that sometimes, if we're not careful, the opposite, whatever it is that we think we're on this side and this other person's over here on this side, many times if we're not careful, one may be ordained of the Lord and the other one may not be ordained of the Lord, or they both might be ordained of the Lord, or neither one of them might be ordained of the Lord. And the only way that we're going to be able to determine that in this age and down through every age that we've lived in, the only way to determine that is to seek God and to look into His Word and ask Him for His Spirit to show us, because Jesus told us, as we looked at last week, that the two spirits in this age would be so close that it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. So that tells us that Joyce Meyer isn't going to deceive us, because she's not so close that it's going to deceive the very elect. Not to say anything negative against her, but when we begin to look into the Word and see what the Word proclaims, then we begin to look at her, we recognize there's something wrong here. And many of these other televangelists and different ones, not to belittle them, they may have their place and they may reach somebody that we couldn't reach, but when you talk about close enough to deceive the very elect, in Luther's day, for it to be close enough to deceive the very elect, it would have to be something very close to Luther. In Wesley's day, for it to be something to deceive the very elect, it would have to be something very close to Wesley. And to know which side you were standing on in Wesley's day, you would have had to have spiritual revelation from God, and you would have had to look into the Word. Now, in our day, we have more scripture than we've ever had, more message, more quotes, more word, more revealed in this age than we've ever had. And it's a blessing, but it also, everybody has their quotes and their scriptures to prove their point of view. And so when you go to look at it and you say, well, is it in the word? And they say, oh yes, you know, I've got this scripture and I've got this quote and it proves my point of view. And then another brother over here with the opposite opinion, and here he's got his quotes and his scriptures and his quote books that he's put together that proves his side. And the brother over here, he's got his notes put together and things to prove his side. Now somebody's got to be right and somebody's got to be wrong, or they both got to be wrong. Or it could be that one's right on one portion over here and another one's right on one portion over there. Remember, Brother Branham, when he goes to preach the church ages and the seals and different ones, he refers back to men that were theologians. They weren't prophets. They weren't anywhere in the realm as far as a church age messenger or anything like that, or a prophet. But being theologians, they had studied the word and they had looked into the word, and some of them had enough revelation by the Spirit to get portions of it absolutely correct, in so much that when he goes to preach the church ages and the seals, he literally quotes some of their words verbatim. You go back and you read the church age book and you find a whole, about two pages of the church age book are not Brother Branham's words, but he's quoting a man named Onesimus who said that there was one thing needful. And he goes on for about two or three pages there quoting Onesimus's words, that the one thing needful was to turn back to Christ. And he got it so close that Brother Branham could actually use his words word for word verbatim what the man had said and then place that in the church age book. But I don't know what else Onesimus said. I've never studied into Onesimus's life, and I'm not going to use Onesimus as my absolute, but there was a portion of word that he got so correct that the prophet could insert that into the church age book and it be just as correct as all the rest of it that he was bringing. Why? Because the man, no doubt filled by the Spirit, had a portion of the word for his age, and it was able to be brought to us. Wesley had a portion of the word for his age. Luther had a portion of the word for his age. Different ones down through, they had a portion of the word, but we don't go back and just preach Wesley or Luther or all these others. Why? Because more revelation has come and more has unfolded, and we found out even though they were church age messengers, there were many things that Wesley and Luther got wrong. Not a lot of amens on that, but there were things Brother Branham had to come around and correct that Wesley and Luther absolutely got wrong. They were still too close to the Catholic Church, and they were still baptizing in titles, and they were doing different things. But Luther began to bring a reformation, and he steps out away from the Catholic Church, and many of them are headed right back to her. I might show you a video here in a few services of some things that the Pope is saying that is absolutely prophecy being fulfilled, almost the exact same words that Brother Branham told us would take place. And what are they doing? They're headed right back into it, and a lot of these denominations, they're just going right back to it when it's the very thing they came out of. But they came out and they took a step out and they got more truth and more revelation, and it was the word and the light for their age. And the ones that lived in the word and the light for their age will absolutely be a portion of the bride of Jesus Christ, because they lived in the light that was revealed to them. They lived in the light that was revealed to them. That's all that's required of us. But what a requirement we have in this age, because more light has been revealed in this age than any other age. And we have a lot more requirement than Wesley or Luther or these did back here, because a portion of the word had been revealed to them. And as long as they lived the portion of the word that had been revealed to them for their age, then they were bride material. But when it comes to our age, so much more is unfolded. Why? Because it was an age of restoration, that all the mysteries of God should be revealed in the days of the voice of the seventh church age messenger. I'm thankful that we heard the voice that said, come out of her, my people. And in the days of that voice, these mysteries were to be revealed and to be restored back. And in doing that, it causes division, because many look at it and they see, oh, he was a great man and he was a gifted man and God used him to heal the sick and things like that. But they stop there. Many of the Pentecostals recognize that much, that, oh, he was a great man of God and you know, miracles took place and he was a great spearheader of the healing revival. And they'll credit him as that. Even Pentecostal historians will write about him in that way, but they stopped there. And many others went on to say, oh, he was a prophet. And many of them could acknowledge, even Oral Roberts said that he was a prophet, and different ones were able to acknowledge that. But then they stopped there. But then there were a few others that went further past the signs and wonders and past the gifts, and they were able to recognize that there was a voice behind the voice that was speaking to us in this age, that was getting a bride ready. And now when you come into that, we've come group after group after group, we've come further now into the message. Those that come into the message, now there's division in this group over here, this doctrine over here, this opinion over there, and all each one of them has quotes and scriptures to back it up. So where do we find ourselves standing? I want to be standing with Jesus. Jesus is the Word, so we better be staying in the Word. Now, in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 49, they ran into a situation like this, and John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And that's what I want to try to drill into you this evening with the help of the Lord. He that is not against us is for us. Now, that's not just some man's words, but that's the words of Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples. They were ready to run this man out of town because he didn't belong to their assembly, or because he didn't see it maybe just the way that they saw it. And they said, we forbade him. Said, don't you be using our Lord's name to cast out devils. And Jesus said, if he's not against us, he's for us. And in St. Mark's gospel, he says it this way. He said, if one's casting out devils in my name, then he can't speak evil against my name. So what is it? We find out that but he wasn't right there with the disciples. He was of a different group or a different church or whatever it would be. And if we're not careful, we looked at this last week, and we looked at this political spirit, that sometimes there are things that are done absolutely in a political way, and we look at it, and if we're not careful, we're scared because, you know, we've come out of the denominations, and we saw so many politics and so much organism and organization. But remember, Brother Branham said he wasn't against organism, he was against organization. You go look it up and see if he didn't say it. There are certain things that have to be organized. If we were going to have a potluck, as we call it, I guess we'll just call it that. That's what everybody calls it. If we're going to have a potluck 4th of July, and we just said, well, we're not a denomination, this isn't going to be organized at all, everybody just bring what you want, and everybody bring green beans, it wouldn't be very much of a potluck. There has to be a little bit of organism to get it together and make it work in the right way. Brother Branham taught us to stay out of organization, but yet he came in and taught us church order and conduct and order and doctrine and things like that that would be in many church manuals and things of how to conduct yourself and what to do and things like that. Was he taking us back to an organization? Absolutely not. But he recognized that we're people. And people have a tendency just to act any way they want and do whatever they think and say whatever comes into their mind. So there has to be, whether it's a church, whether it's a family, whether it's a revival, whether it's a movement, whatever it be, there has to be a little bit of organism to it, or it's just haphazard and roused about and things like that. I love following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if I get up here and the Holy Spirit begins to move as he's doing tonight, where I don't hardly even touch my notes for a while, praise the Lord, that's wonderful. But I don't just come in and say, well, bless God, I'm not going to study all week. I'm just going to be lazy, and I'm just going to depend on the Holy Spirit. Brother Green told me something one time that really helped me as a young minister, Brother Layton. He told me, he said, when I go to study, he said, I study as if there is no Holy Spirit to help me when I get out there. And he said, and then when I get out there, I depend on the Holy Spirit as if I had never studied. I like that pretty good, you know, that we should study to show ourselves approved. We should be in the Word, and we should know. We should have notes and things like that, because the Holy Spirit leads in that way too. But then when we get out there, if the Holy Spirit's moving a different way, don't depend on the notes, depend on Him. But we have to have some, if Brother Furman or myself would come up here and say, well, I just... I didn't feel led to have any songs written down or pray about what to sing this evening. I was going to depend on the Holy Spirit. And let's see how the Holy Spirit's leading tonight. I think the Holy Spirit's leading to 138, The Solid Rock. Any of the musicians know it? No, we don't know it. So what key we singing in? Oh, I don't know, but I'm just depending on the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful to depend on the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit wants us to make plans and have structure and have a list of songs to sing. And then if the Holy Spirit moves a different way, throw the list out the window. Have notes to preach. Have a tape to play. Have a guest minister, whatever it is that you feel led to do. But if when you get up there, the Holy Spirit leads a different way, forget the plans. But we get so scared sometimes of any type of organism because we're afraid of organization that when we see anything at all that looks political or looks like that, we begin to get very scared and we begin to say, oh, that's that old Antichrist spirit. Well, it might be and it might not be. Remember, as we looked at last week, here was these two movements, Adonijah and his group, and they were rallying in a political way, yet he was the son of the king, and yet he had great anointed men around him. He had a priest that was an ordained priest of God, Abiathar. He had a mighty man of valor, Joab, who had fought battle after battle and won him for King David, and here he has these anointed men surrounding him, and he says, you know what, I'm next in line anyhow. Absalom was my brother. I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to be king. But yet David had already spoken and God had already given him a prophecy through the mouth of Nathan the prophet and said that Solomon was going to be king. And so Solomon had his group, and here was Nathan and who's a prophet of God, and Bathsheba and Zadok, who was another priest that was anointed of God, and Benaniah, who was another mighty man of valor who had won many victories and done many mighty things. If you go through and read in the book of Chronicles there, the things that the mighty men of valor did, and he had these men surrounding him. And had we been there on that day, it might have been very hard for us to decide, now who are we going to stand with? Here is David. He's not really saying anything either way. Who do we stand with? And I would have wanted to be found standing with the Lord. So whose side do you choose to know who's on the Lord's side? Now, when we begin to say these things, if you're not careful, which is absolutely why I didn't call any names or even give any stipulations as far as examples or thing like that, is because as human beings, we begin to try to place people's names and we say, oh, well, he's just an Adonijah, or, well, I'm following a Solomon, and this group over here, they're just a bunch of old Adonijahs. And we begin to place and to try to label and signify, this group doesn't agree with us, so they're Adonijahs, and this group, they preach it like we do, so they're Solomons, and we begin to categorize and label, and well, you know, this brother over here, he treats me pretty good, so he's a David, but this brother over here, he said something negative about me, so he's a Saul, and we begin to lay out our message labels and to label everybody, oh, this one's a Judas, and this one's a Paul, and this one's a Peter, and we begin to just, we get our little yearbook out, and, you know, we begin to just label people's pictures and write the characters of the Bible's names underneath their pictures. This brother's this one and that brother's that one. And without the Holy Spirit telling you, then you're just assuming because you don't like a certain way that somebody did something. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Now I want to read you a quote that I referred to several services recently. This is from a paradox in Tampa, Florida in 1964. Brother Branham says, I'm a Kentuckian. Together we stand and divided we fall. Why did the Indians lose this country to the white people? Is because they was divided among themselves. How are we going to lose this great race? Is because we're divided. How are we going to do it? We got to stay together. We're all believers in God. The Holy Ghost takes us all in. It'll be a paradox if God ever gets us together, but he will. I like that. That's a promise. That's a promise. It'll be a paradox if God ever gets us together, but he will. Just trust him. That's the problem. Many of us want to try to figure it all out and label everybody instead of just trusting him. The virgin birth, he says, he knows how to send the persecution that will run us together. Now, I don't want to see persecution come. I don't know about you. I don't like persecution. But if that's what takes it to run us together, then even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. You begin to see many times, you know, Brother Layton's faced it, and I've faced it, and different brothers that you talk to, they run into it. Many times, especially if you go out of the country somewhere, sometimes it's even to a state or whatever it would be, and you get somewhere. I believe Brother Layton's experienced it doing missionary work and evangelism different places. And you go and you try to schedule a meeting to go into a country. Brother Branham faced it many times in different ones. And you try to get with the brothers that are there, and maybe two or three message churches in that area, and you say, well, I'm going to be there, and I'm, you know both of these brothers, and we fellowship before, and they both invited me and said, oh, come preach for us sometime if you're ever near us. And you know, you go and you begin to say, hey, I'm going to be in the area, and you'd mentioned before, if I'm ever your way that you'd like to have me preach, I'm going to be preaching for Brother so-and-so over here, and I'm preaching for him Friday and Sunday, and I thought maybe I could preach for you Thursday and Saturday if you have an opening. And they say, well, you know, if you're preaching for them over here, you can't preach for us. Why? Because they're divided. Because there's a division. And if you're going to help them, then we don't want your help. And then you go to the other group and they say the same thing. Well, if you're going to help them over there, we don't want your help over here. We don't want you over here. So what do I usually do? I usually say, well, let them both sit then. Brother Branham did that many times, said he couldn't get them to gather together and couldn't get agreement between the different denominations and things. And if he couldn't get unity, he just wouldn't go. Or either he'd just go individually and not choose either denomination or whatever it would be. Why? Because Brother Branham was one of the first ones to really campaign the union meetings, that he would get the Trinitarians and the oneness and the two-ness and the three-ness and the four-ness, as he says, and all these groups together. And they would have what they call union meetings. And they didn't just say, now, wait a minute, you know, this denomination believes more like us, so Brother Billy, you just give the prayer cards out to them. But they would pass out the prayer cards, whether it was Trinitarians or whether it was oneness or whether it was Jehovah Witness or a prostitute off the street or whoever it was. They all, if they got there and they got in line and got an opportunity to get a prayer card, they all got one. Didn't matter what their title was, didn't matter what their belief was. Brother Branham, I heard him recently, I think it's Rialto, California, things that are to be in 1965 there. He says that he said, when I was here last time, I was in a tent meeting, and he said there was two couples that had drove all night to be there where he was having a tent meeting, and their little baby, one of the two couples, their baby had died, and they drove all through the night to get to California, and they drove up out front, and the baby was cold and stiff. Rigor mortis had already set in and just stiff and cold there, and they handed it out the window of the car to Brother Branham in a little blanket, and he takes the little baby in his hands, and he begins to pray for it, and he said as he began to pray for it, he began to feel the blanket begin to get warmer. Oh, I hope tonight the blanket's getting a little bit warmer. All that we were who were dead in sin and trespasses, there's been something that's come in and begin to quicken us, and life has begun to enter into dead bones that were once dead in sins and trespasses. But he begins to lay his hands on the baby, and as he does, he's praying, and life begins to come back in the baby. He feels it begin to get warm, and he begins to kick and to cry, and he hands it back through the window to the couple, and they drive off in the rain with this dead baby who's been dead for hours clear across the country, and that is now alive. Why? Because they honored a gift of a prophet of God. He said, I don't know what denomination they belong to. He said, I don't even know if they were Christians. I didn't even ask them. I just prayed for the baby. Now, that's how we should be. But we get out our yearbook and we begin to say, okay, this brother, I'm going to label him as this because bless God, he said that. And I'm going to label this one as that because they treated my friend bad. And this one said something about my pastor. And this one did this and that one did that. And we get out all our labels. And then if you're not on our side, then bless God, we're not going to cooperate with you. Or bless God, you know, if you're going to preach for this church over here, then you can't preach for that church over there. And it gets into, what is it? Just a lot of man-made garbage. You say, oh, that's pretty strong. Let me just skip ahead here a little bit. Is that the one I'm wanting? No, let me skip ahead a little further. We'll come back. The seed shall not be aired at the shuck, 1965. He says that I'm slipping into a nation right now because of organization, because they won't let the ministry that God, I wrote them a letter back. I said, for 10 years, I've tried to come in, and you, with your crazy baptism, he didn't pull any punches. He didn't water it down and say, oh, I don't want to hurt your little doctrinal feelings, but I just feel that this would be best. He said, you, with your crazy baptism, one of them believes you got to be baptized three times, once for the Father, once for the Son, the Holy Ghost, face forward. The other said, no, you got to be baptized three times backwards, once for the Son, once for the Father and Holy Ghost, and they're both wrong, he says. One said, here, you're baptized to his death, and he pitched forward when he died. We're baptized to his death. The other one said, who buries a man on his face? You bury him backwards. Such nonsense separating people. It shows it's jealousy. It's Satan. It isn't from God. Now, can you imagine if he was coming to your country? And here you were, and you had your little baptism doctrinal idea all figured out, and you had your reasons and your scriptures, and bless God, Jesus pitched forward when he died, so we're going to baptize him forward, and the other group has their little notes and their little quotes and their little scriptures, and you don't bury a man on his face, you bury him on his back. It's not even common sense, and you think you've got it all figured out, and the prophet of God says it's such nonsense separating people. It shows it's jealousy. It's from Satan. It isn't of God. That might hurt your little doctrinal feelings a little bit of what you thought you had so figured out. Here he comes and he says it's of Satan, which we know that it would be because those are titles, not even a name. But yet here they are divided, and he doesn't say, well, bless God, I'm just going to count you both out, and you're just a bunch of Adonijahs or Sauls or whatever. He's trying to come, and he's trying to help them, but their own doctrinal feud keeps him out of their country because neither group will have him because he won't side with one of them to say which one's right. He said, in the midst of both sides, God is neither on either side, but he's calling from both sides. Come out from among them and be ye separated, saith God, and I will receive you unto myself. He says, God bless you. And that's the last words that's on that tape. He ends the tape that way. In the midst of both sides, he said, God is neither on either side, but he's calling from both sides. Remember when he went out to preach to the denominational people, he said God showed him a vision of two trees. And he said he was standing there in between the two, picking fruit off of both trees. And he said that was the oneness and the Trinitarian people. And he said he was filling up a basket with fruit off of both trees, calling from both sides. That's what the whole theme of his ministry was, calling from both sides. That's what he said he was trying to do even with this group that was baptized, and both of them wrong, and both of them fighting one another, and neither one of them being able to allow him to come in and have a union meeting because they both disagreed on their baptism, and he wouldn't side with either one of them. But what was he trying to do? Call from both sides. The Holy Spirit always calls from both sides. Now, do you want me to make it real plain, or do you want me to just go on? I don't know. Sometimes you're in a strait and you don't know what to do. I had a brother tell me a couple years ago, I don't know if he would mind me calling his name or not, so I won't call his name right now. But he attends a church down in Louisiana, and he had told me a few years ago, he said, your church is a bridge. And I liked that. That was a compliment to me. I felt like that our church could be a bridge between, and not just between two groups of people, but between many different groups of people. And when you have a church like this, and when you get to a spot that we are, when we started the church, it was just me and my wife and two boys, and we didn't have a lot of different opinions. There was just two opinions that mattered, because the boys weren't old enough to pay tithes, and really Rebecca didn't have a job, so really I guess there was just one opinion, only one eligible voter in the church. So there wasn't a lot of opinions, and there wasn't a lot of different doctrinal ideas, But as the church begins to grow and you get to 100, 115, whatever we're at now, sometimes 130 or 140 on a Sunday morning, you begin to get a lot of different ideas and a lot of different opinions and a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different doctrinal things that people, maybe they've said under different ministries that majored on certain doctrines and things. And you begin to get a lot of different opinions, and maybe this side of the church leans a certain way and this side of the church leans a certain way, and they're both good Christians and they both believe this message and stand for it, and they aren't completely totally off the wall of each other. They wouldn't be able to come to this church probably, but yet maybe one leans a little bit this direction, one leans a little bit that direction. And a sister actually told me recently, I liked the analogy as well. She said, in a bridge, you know, you've got bricks on one side of the arch that begin to build up this way, and you got the center, and then you got over here bricks that build up the other side. But you know, at the extreme ends, you've got people on almost two different sides of things. And so as a pastor, you get to try to preach and stand in the middle and call from both sides. Brother Ram said that was what a pastor was supposed to do, that a pastor wasn't supposed to take sides, but to call from both sides. And so you've got some on one side, some on the other side, but it all comes up to connect one bridge. And if you get on 65 south, I guess it would be from us tonight, and you get on 65 south and you're getting ready to go across the Kennedy, and you get about halfway across that bridge, there's a sign there, and it says, "Welcome to Kentucky." But if you're coming the other direction, it says, "Welcome to Indiana." And it's the same sign, but it's on a bridge. And so you have some that lean a little bit this way, and there's some of you that, if I probably, you know, only preached about once every 4 months and played tapes, some of you would be totally happy with that and totally fine with that. Others, if I did the opposite and only played a tape about every 4 months and just preached all the time as hard as I could, you'd be happy with that. So what have we got? Two sides of a bridge. And yet there's some in the middle that like it just the way that I'm doing it, or maybe they think, oh, maybe he could do a little bit more this or a little bit more that, but they're in the middle. And what is it? It's a bridge. And so because of that, and because we have a mix, because the Holy Spirit has led me to run the services that way, it kind of puts us in a straight, because there's people that think that you should only preach and not play tapes in church. And so that puts, you know, that puts our bridge out completely, because we do both. And then there's other people on the opposite side that, well, you should only play tapes and not preach. And so that puts our bridge out, because we do both. But yet there's other people that see a balance, and maybe they lean a little bit more this way, and maybe the other one leans a little bit more this way, but they see a balance and they see a need for both. And so we're able to help those people. Why? Because it's a bridge. And I think any church should be a bridge. And as we begin to see things take place, I don't want you to get the idea when we preach these things that either group is an Adonijah or a Solomon or whatever it would be. That's not the point, to label a group or a people. And that's just one. I've got about seven different things here that we could talk about if we want to really delve into some divisions and things in the message. But I'm just waiting on the Lord to see what he wants me to do and what he doesn't want me to do. And we whatever it is, whatever flavor or label or whatever it is that you come from, many times, you know, we're always going to think, well, bless God, we're the right ones, and I pray that we are, and I believe that we are. I believe we have a balance in the Word, but that doesn't make everybody else wrong. There's many different message churches just in these tri-cities here, and there's not one of them that runs their services the same. And I don't want to get so high and mighty and stuck up that I think, bless God, the Church of the Open Door is the only one that does it right. I believe that there's many different brothers that are led of God, anointed of God, that are helping people that we couldn't help because of the way that they run their services. And yet we're helping people that maybe they couldn't help because of the way that we run our services. So to say that one group is right and one group is wrong, let God straighten all that out when we get over there. I'm going to do what God leads me to do. And I'm going to stand behind any brother. If they're not bitterly against us, then they're for us. Because we're all standing for this message. And when push comes to shove and the persecution gets hard enough, when we find people that haven't turned against the message, we're going to say, hey, have you got any tapes left that hasn't been confiscated? Can we come down in your basement and listen to them? You got any message books left that they haven't burned? Could I get a few of them and read them? My soul's just been so hungry to hear some of the Word of God. And you aren't going to ask him, whose church did you attend? What doctrine did you lean to? Well, bless God, I don't want your books and tapes if you lean that way. That doesn't even make sense. If I'm out here starving with a sign that says, we'll work for food, and a man rolls down his window and sticks a $100 bill out and says, go down to a nice restaurant and get you something to eat, I'm not going to say, now, wait a minute, what denomination are you from? And what church did you belong to? And how do you believe the Trinity? And how do you believe this? And how do you believe that? The man's offering me food. He's offering me help. Why would I want to reject help just because I disagree with him on his politics or whatever it would be? Who are you voting for president? Well, bless God, if you're for Hillary, I don't want your $100. No, I like what my Uncle Moore said one time. They asked him, they said, what if somebody won the lottery and wanted to pay you tithes on it? Would you accept it or not? And he said, praise the Lord. He said, I would accept it. He said, I'm happy to take the devil's money and give it to God any day. Let's go back here a little further. Romans 8, verse 31. Paul tells us, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? It's not you that I hesitate for. It's because I like to put whatever we say up online so that people can say whatever, you know, they don't have a right to say, well, you know, well, he's saying this or he's saying that. It's all up there for them to hear. And I know people will tear apart your words if you're not careful, but let's just look down this path a little bit here locally. And you just pray for me that the Lord will help me and give me wisdom. There, you could take and look at this as far as political and things like that. There was a lot of political changes recently at the Tabernacle. And the deacons had sided with Brother Collins, and the trustees had sided with Brother Joseph. And it both, if you look back and you don't look at any quotes or any scriptures or anything like that, but just look at the motives and everything that was going on taking place, it looked very political, a lot of the things that were going on. But yet when we look at it now, and a few months have gone by, we recognize God's hand had to be in it all. As I told one brother, I said, you can't make these things up. The way that things happen, we couldn't have predicted it, we couldn't have wrote it, we couldn't have done it. And you know what, there's something about it that there's people, more people in this area struggle with going to church than any area I've ever seen. And right now there's more people in church than there ever has been in this area. And all I can say is praise God. And you say, oh, but they're going for the wrong reason. I don't care what reason they're coming for. I don't care what reason you came for tonight. If I can get you here in the presence of the Holy Spirit, then God can do something for you if there's any help to be had for you at all. You might have come to see your girlfriend or your boyfriend, or you might have come to show off your clothes, or you might have come up to see if I was going to follow up and give some more details on this thought tonight. I don't know why you came. I hope you just came to worship the Lord and to fellowship together in spirit and in truth. But whatever your motives, I'm not so concerned about that. As long as we can get somebody into the presence of God where God can do something for them, then lives can be changed. I've seen lives. I've talked to people whose lives have been changed since they've been going to the Tabernacle. If God's for them, who can be against them? If God's for Church of the Open Door, who can be against us? Oh, people might talk about us, run us down, say whatever. If God's for us, who cares? I've seen people, I've seen families sitting here tonight and families that come on Sundays and whatever it would be, families that have come such a long way since they've been here, and God's moved in their lives and they've grown closer to God and their children have grown closer to God. If God be with us, who can be against us? We've seen the dead raised over at the Tabernacle. You think that was the devil that did that? Brother Collins's group, I don't know what their church's name is. I don't mean to call them Brother Collins' group, but I don't know if they have a what their church name is. So he's the pastor. They were given a church. Yes. Nobody's given me a church yet, Brother David. Is God with them more than he's with us? No, God's moving with us in different ways than he is there, and God's moving for them in that way and in different ways. God's doing things for them. Somebody said, well, bless God, some people come to churches and get healed, but people come to our church and get raised from the dead. Well, praise the Lord. They maybe have a bad attitude about it, but hey, as long as God's moving, I don't care if he's healing or raising the dead or saving or getting the Holy people filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's just be happy that the Lord's moving. Amen. And so many times we take sides and we look and we think we see political things and we're all, well, we're going to bless God. We're going to stand with this group because we've got quotes that we feel like we should stand with this group. And then there's others on the other side. Well, bless God. No, we're going to stand with this group over here because we've got quotes and scriptures that we feel we should stand with this group. And if you're not careful, we begin to throw out labels and label this brother over here as this and that brother over there is that. And oh, he's just an old this and he's just an old that. And Brother Branham said, you know, they were talking about Junior Jackson's people, and we know what Brother Branham said about Junior Jackson, and that they disagreed on different things and all that, but he said they were calling him Buzzard Roost down there, and he said, you better never let me catch you saying that. He said, I'm ashamed of you. So if you're saying things like that about other churches, I'm ashamed of you. I'm not here to label everybody and straighten everybody out. I'm here to call from both sides, and I don't care. I told a brother the other day, there's a couple families that still aren't going to church anywhere, and I said, I don't care if they come to our church or the Tabernacle or Brother Brad's or Brother Collins's or whose. I just want to see them get in church somewhere so God can move and their family can be healed and their children can grow in Christ and get in Sunday school or whatever it would be. I want to see God move for people. I'm not here to try to gather them all to me and steal sheep and bless God, I'm going to convince this one over here and that one over there so I can get them. No, I'm just here to help people. And if I can help somebody, then praise the Lord. And if I can't help you, I sure hope you can get help at one of these other churches. Because we're all putting the message before the people. And we're all trying to get people closer to God. And they may have different ways of doing it at every one of these churches than I do it. And that's okay. I don't think any one of them is just totally off their rocker and doing, you know, they're not a cult or a denomination or anything like that. They're men of God who are led to help people, and they're helping people that I probably could never help. And yet there's a group gathered here that I'm helping that maybe they couldn't help. So whose side am I going to take? Jesus's. Amen. I played it for you when there was a lot of the division and things going on. Whose side are we taking? We're taking sides with Jesus. And I know many of you would just love it if I would just stand up and take sides in certain situations, whether it's Here I Stand or different church politics or you know, one folders and four folders and five folders and whatever you got. Many of them say they're fivefold and they've only got a fourfold because they won't let the prophet speak. And others will only let the prophet speak and won't let any of the other brothers come. And what have we got? One folds, four folds, five folds. You want me to get up and just blast one of them real good, just as hard as I can? What spirit would that be of? We're all trying to get closer to God, not straighten one another out. I know what I believe, and I know what I feel led to do in my heart, but I can't dictate to every other church what they've got to do. I've got to stand for the Word of God here and do it how I feel led to do it, and they've got to do it how they feel led to do it, and they may be absolutely doing it the opposite way of us, different churches, or maybe a little bit different ways, whatever it would be, and that doesn't mean that we're an Adonijah and they're a Solomon, or we're a Solomon and they're an Adonijah. It may mean that God's trying to reach a group of people in a way that they're doing it, and we're doing it in a way that God can reach a certain group of people to get a bride ready to get out of here. Amen. Seal of Antichrist, 1955. Brother Bram says this. He said, man usually, when he's born in the kingdom of God, his face is set right towards Calvary. Now, if he's just a little bit emotional, I know we've got some emotional ones here tonight. I'm glad to be one of them. If he's just a little bit emotional, he'll go off on fanaticism. If he's just a little bit his shrewd education, he'll get so starchy that he sits over on the side. That's right. But the true church of the living God goes right down the center of the highway, preaching a sane, solid gospel, calling from both sides. Amen. That's what we need today. A church that he wouldn't be ashamed for anyone to come into. Oh, God, help us tonight to be the type of church that he wouldn't be ashamed for anyone to come into. He said it's perfectly governed by the Holy Spirit. No fanaticism, no starchy, just a good, warm church filled with God's Spirit. Watch the good, solid gospel teaching pastors. That's what we need. Amen. God, help us to have it. God wants us to have it. Amen. What did he say it was in Caesar's not ever the shuck we just looked at? He says it shows when they're separating and all these different things, it shows it's jealousy. It's from Satan. It isn't from God. But yet God's going right down the middle, and so will the bride of Jesus Christ go right down the middle and call from both sides and say, hey, this is my brother over here, and this is my brother over there. And when one of you gets in an argument with another one over on this side of the church, I'll say, hey, this is my brother over here, and this one over here, this is my brother too. And we're going to stand together, and we're going to work this out. And that shouldn't just be in a church. It shouldn't just be in a home. It should be in the message. These are our brothers. They aren't our enemies. If they're not against us, they're for us. And if they want to draw lines and say, well, you've got to pick a side, then we'll just do like Brother Branham did and draw a circle and draw them back in. I'm not here tonight to tell you which side to pick. I'm here to tell you to stand in the middle of the road and call from both sides. God help us. God give us the wisdom to be able to do so. The prophet did. The Lord Jesus did. He didn't go down to the well and have needs to go to Samaria just so he could tell her how wrong she was and that she didn't even worship God right and they weren't even worshiping the same God, and for her just to go on and get out of there. And why would he waste his time with her when there was good, faithful Israelites going to the temple and worshiping God like he thought they should be? And why would he waste his time on her? No, he went down and he said, we worship God in the temple and you worship God in this mountain, but there's coming a time that we're not going to worship God in either place so much, but it's going to be that we'll worship him in spirit and in truth. And he had his hand out to help her. And there she was, a prostitute. There she was, married and divorced 5 times. And the one she was living with wasn't her husband. I like the way Brother Tim Pruitt said when he was here at the 4th of July meetings last year. He said she'd been with 6 men, but then she met the 7th man. Amen. I'm thankful that we've met the 7th man. I'm thankful that God allowed us through all our faults and all our failures, and maybe we were, maybe we had a bad family background, or maybe we belonged to a denomination, or maybe we stooped so far down in sin, and he didn't come down and ask us about all that and say, well, I just can't help you, but he reached down his hand for us and brought us out of whatever we were going through. And how dare us get so high and mighty and so think we're so spiritually correct that we wouldn't have our hand out to somebody but just because we think they're wrong. We were wrong too at one point. I believe all of us, there's still a little bit of something wrong with this, or we wouldn't be able to keep gravity here on the earth. We'd be going up taking a solo flight. Amen. He's still working on me, or I wouldn't be here. So I don't want to get to the spot where I feel like I'm right and everybody else is wrong. Amen. I feel like God has led us and guided us and showed us things in the scriptures and the message. And I hope he continues to for many years to come. And if there's things that we're wrong on, I hope he continues to show us. And if there's things that other brothers are wrong on, I believe he'll continue to show them. That's what we fail to realize many times about the Holy Spirit. You remember what Jesus told them the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling in us was? To lead us and to guide us to all truth. And I've preached for many brothers out of town when I was evangelizing that when we begin to sit down and talk very long, I recognize very quickly, Brother David, that I didn't agree with them on many different things, many different aspects of the message. And doctrinally, if we would have sat and talked, we would have probably, you know, got into a debate or whatever, because they leaned this way and I leaned that way. But I didn't go into their church and try to blast that and line them out and straighten them out and tell them that they were wrong. I was there to try to help them. And I figured if I had the Holy Ghost and I lean this way, if I'm wrong and it's more over this way, then the Holy Spirit, if he's in me, which I believe he is by the grace of God, he's obligated to straighten me up to the middle of the road. And if they're leaning way off on this side, and we might seem like we're as far apart as east and west because I'm leaning this way and they're leaning this way and maybe the balance right in the middle, the Holy Spirit, if they're wrong, is obligated to balance them out too. So it's not up to me to straighten everybody out and say, bless God, you need to do this and you need to do that. You need to be over here and you need to run the services like we do. No, I'll let the Holy Spirit lead them and guide them. And if they have the Holy Spirit, he will. He's obligated to. Amen. God bless you tonight. I don't know where to stop. I'm sure some of you are praying, oh, just stop somewhere quick before you get us all in trouble. God's good, isn't he? I don't want to label my brothers and say, well, this brother's this and this brother's that. And I have, you know, a spreadsheet of what brother's on what side and what brother's right and what brother's wrong and all that. No, that's not my job. That's not what I'm called to do. The Holy Spirit never asked me to do that. But what I am supposed to do is have my hand out to help anybody that I can. Maybe they lean this way, maybe they lean that way. Maybe they believe it just exactly the way I do, and they've got such a poor attitude about it, they just can't hardly fellowship with anybody. And I pray God help them in that way, whatever it would be. My uncle, Brother Jeff Bryant, he preached one time at my uncle Morse's convention there in Kentucky. He preached on, does your character match your revelation? And I think that's very good, that there's many that they have a lot of revelation, or at least they think they do, and they think they can prove everybody wrong. But if our character doesn't match our revelation, what good is it doing us? If you believe a doctrine in the message or the Bible, and you believe you've got it figured out just so perfectly, did it draw you closer to God? Did it make you love your brother more? Did it make you want to do more for your wife and your children and your fellow man? Or did it make you want to be self-righteous and prove everybody else that they were wrong? If it didn't make you want to be a better Christian and dig in and live more for God and do more for the Lord, what good is your doctrine doing you? Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and though I know all the mysteries, and though I can speak and have enough faith that mountains be moved, and I don't have love, what good is it? He said, it's like a tinkling brass and a sounding cymbal. If I can't love brothers, even if I bitterly disagree with them, brothers around in different states and different countries and things, if I can't fellowship with them and love them, even if I disagree with them, what good is me being right, or feeling that I'm right at least, and the Holy Spirit leading me? What good is it doing me if I can't show somebody else some love and try to help somebody else? If these other local brothers here, if I can't love them and feel like they're my brothers and that I'd do anything for them if I could, what good is all the mysteries and the doctrines and everything else doing me? What good is it doing me if I don't have down in my heart so much to help anybody that I can, whether they agree with me or not, whether it's a homeless person out here in a ditch so drunk they can't hardly stand up? If there's not enough God in my heart to want to help that man, then there's something wrong. I don't care how good I can quote to you the serpent seed or Christ is the mystery of God revealed or whatever it would be, if there's not the love of Christ down in my heart compelling me to love my brothers and sisters and to help them, what good is the rest of it doing us? Many times I think we get the cart before the horse, and we try to figure it all out, and we can prove everybody wrong intellectually. But may there be enough of Christ in me that no matter what sides you're on, I would be able to have a handout to say, well, brother, I may not agree with you all completely, but I sure love you and I'm praying for you. And if I'm wrong, I hope that you're praying for me. That's my desire. I want to be more like that. I want to be more like Jesus. Amen. I want everything I do and say to glorify him. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come, just play something, sister. Brother Stephen, you want to come? Thank you.
Brother Nathan gets ready to come, let's just sing that song, Can't You See Why I'm Happy? Can't you see?
Let me sing this tonight. How many is looking forward to getting over on the other side and greeting one another? No more pain, no more heartache, no more confusion, no misunderstandings. Oh, it's a country where no twilight shadows deepen. Oh, unending days where night will never.
and when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image other loves all flee. Imagine when we get over there, we walk down those pearly, through those pearly gates, walk on those streets of gold, and you run into somebody, you say, wait a minute, you didn't go to church in the open door, I don't want to shake your hand. Wait a minute, you didn't see it the way me and brother so-and-so saw it, I don't want to shake your hand, I don't think you'll be there. Oh, we better get a whole lot more of God down on the inside of us. Brother Bram said nothing but perfect love would be there. I want to be there. Amen. And nothing but perfect love. Oh, don't just let it stay inside the message ranks. But if you can't love your nominal brother or sister out here, or somebody that stooped down in sin out here, if you can't love for them and want God to do something for them and to open their eyes and to help them and do whatever, not just wait and say, well, God bless you, I hope God does something for you, but for you to have a desire down on your heart to do something for them. If you don't feel that way tonight, Brother Bram said you better get to an altar somewhere. Amen. I don't care how right I can prove myself and how wrong I can prove somebody else out. If I'm doing it just so I can show that I'm a big shot or show that what a great guy that I am, and I don't really have a desire in my heart to help that person, and I'm not doing it in a manner that's to try to do something to help them, what good is me being right doing me? Oh, I don't think when we get over there it'll be, well, bless God, here's Brother Nathan's group over here. You know, they won't fellowship with the other group over here. They went to one of those other churches. And, well, here's this group over here. They were from this age, and they won't fellowship with that group from that age. And this group believed this doctrine a certain way, and they're over at this table. And there's another table over here for that other group that believed that doctrine another way. Oh, if that's heaven, what good would that be? Amen. But I want to have a little piece of heaven here. If God's in my heart... Amen. Then we should be able to walk around, even all this sin and things, there should be an environment around us that's a heavenly place in Christ Jesus. When we come to church, when we go to work or school, whatever it is, I want that atmosphere around me that's a heavenly environment. Amen. So Brother Graham said, death doesn't change you, it just changes your dwelling place. We better get in a condition to where we could walk down those streets of gold, and if we ran into anybody, no matter what they did to us back down here on earth, or no matter what they believed or what church they went to, if we ran into them and we decided we wanted to walk down the other side of those pearly streets, or golden streets rather, oh, there's Brother So-and-so. I wasn't expecting to see him here. Oh, you better get more of God down in your heart. Because this is just what heaven means to me. Let's sing it together tonight. Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder? Oh, and we join the throng upon the glassy sea. We're going to join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Help me sing this verse. Oh, and when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image other loves all cease. Oh, and when they crown him Lord of all, I believe we're gonna be there. what heaven means to me. Just worship Him together tonight. Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder and we join the throng upon the glassy sea? We'll join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Shake somebody's hand tonight. Tell them I want to see you there. Oh, what will it be?
To crumble, and though the cost
number 247 in your hymn book if you don't know it. Oh, we pray, Jesus, use me. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. And though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. My eyes of faith, I see thee upon the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, I cry, let me thy servant be. Oh, we pray, Jesus, use me. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Help me sing this together. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the beautiful rose of Sharon. He's all the world to me. But best of all, he is my coming King. So we pray, Jesus, use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me. For sure there's a word that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll go for you. Let's just bow our heads as they play that softly. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I believe you've been speaking to hearts tonight, Father. Lord, help us. Lord, in our humanity and our human weakness and human thinking, many times we're quick to label somebody or to put somebody in a certain group or try to take sides with things. But Father, help us to approach these things prayerfully, Father. Help us to be sure, Lord, not just to prove that we're right, but help us, Lord, to be careful before we just write somebody off as wrong or lost or in a different group than we are, a different category than we are. Father, help us to be long-suffering. Help us to be patient. Help us to have the love of Christ down in our heart that we're ready to reach a hand out to anybody, no matter what their condition, what their political stance, what church they belong to, what label they've been placed under. Father, help us to have more of you in our hearts. Lord, that we could reach down and help somebody. Lord, not just to try to prove them wrong, but to really try to help them, Father. To show them love. To show them patience. Lord, you were patient with us. You're still being patient with us. There's so many things, Lord, that you're patient with us about. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Now help us to turn and, Lord, not be like the servant that when you paid off all his debts, Father, he turned around and was evil towards somebody that owed him a debt. But Father, help us to recognize, Lord, that, Lord, when you gave us grace and mercy, that we should have grace and mercy open for others. Oh, help us, Jesus, we pray.
draw us closer to you. Lord, help us. Lord, if we find ourselves on one side or another side or in the middle of both sides, help us to make sure we call from both sides, Father, and that we show love. No matter what somebody would say or do, or if somebody would take an extreme side, maybe against us or say something evil against us, help us to return evil for good. Help us to return hate with love, Father. Oh, help us to say something good about somebody instead of always yielding to the negative or saying something to run down somebody or trying to find fault with somebody, the way they acted or the way they looked or what they wore or how they said something to somebody or whatever it would be. Help us to stop picking apart everybody else and to work on our own lives. Help us to focus on sweeping our own steps, Father, instead of trying to worry about everybody else's business. Help us to spend more time in prayer for our brothers and sisters and less time on the phone running them down or speaking evil of them, Father. Help us, Jesus, to be more like you, we pray. Oh, we love you tonight, Father. Protect each one as we go our separate ways. Be with us through the week. Help us, Lord. Maybe if there's some that haven't been able to make it, Father, help us to call and encourage them and let them know we're thinking about them, that we're praying for them, that, Lord, we love them, Father. Oh, just be with us, Lord. Draw us all closer to you. Help us to think of one another instead of just ourselves. Help us to put you first in our lives, Father, we pray. Be with the children as they're going to school. Father, protect them in their classes. And Lord, this is such an evil age. Father, be with each one. Protect them and keep them safe, Father, from all harm. Be with us, Father. Lead us and guide us. May you be the center of our life in every decision we make. We give you praise for all that you're doing. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's sing it again together. Oh, Jesus, use me. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Oh, surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, just help my will to crumble. And though the cost be great, I'll work for you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Let's sing it as we go.